Lord, we just thank you this morning for your presence here, Lord. We thank you for your peace, Lord, that we can walk by faith this year, Lord, and that we can consecrate everything that we have planned to you, knowing, Lord, that you order our steps, God. We make our plans and we give our calendars and everything to you, Lord, but you order our steps. You direct our steps this year, Father. And we just thank you for this time right now. We thank you that we can, Lord, receive life this morning in you, Jesus. And we can receive your word, Father. We just truly make our hearts open right now, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do what you need to do this morning in each of our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're here, Lord. And we thank you that we can be different to the world, Lord. That we can be separated because your presence is with us, Lord. And we thank you for your presence this year, Lord. We just bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. It's wonderful to have you. Are you excited to be here? Are you excited for the new year? Who's excited? Who's ready? Who's had a tan? Who's had some sun, some beach, some sea? You need to get out of Bloemfontein, okay? I just want to say, do yourself a favor. This is a wonderful place, but it's nice to go to the sea. I must say, we had a lovely holiday. So, we are excited for the year. God is excited. Amen. He's not sleeping or slumbering, or he doesn't take holiday. He's ready all the time. So I trust that you are. 2014 is going to be a different year. I believe the Lord. There's so much that God is going to do. And I just believe he's going to shake our boxes this year. Amen. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's going to just shift a few things in our imaginations. And I trust God that we really will be ready, and each of us will just follow his plans and his dreams for our lives. Amen. And that's the best place. I love this song, Yanni. Thanks for this choice of songs. Just, you know, it's in his will that we're free. Amen. And I trust God for all of us to be free this year, to be in his will, doing what he's called us to do, not doing stuff that's unnecessary. And that's actually my word this morning. I'm really excited. Just a simple word, a simple word that I believe we must just take with us through this year, because God is going to show us lots of things and plans and hopes and dreams and things. But I believe we must start off at this place of living a life of simplicity. And I just want to start off by showing a video clip. So Mariska, if you're ready there, you can show the clip and then we'll carry on.
Hello. My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. You want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. Those must be comfortable shoes. I bet you could walk all day in shoes like that and not feel a thing. I wish I had shoes like that.
My feet hurt.
Mom always said there's an awful lot you can tell about a person by their shoes. Where they gone? Where they been? I've worn lots of shoes. I bet if I think about it real hard, I could remember my first pair of shoes. Mama said they'd take me anywhere.
Who has not watched the movie Forrest Gump? Anyone? Any honest people? Okay, please do yourself a favor, then watch it if you can. But the rest of us know what an amazing story, what an inspiring story it was. The rest of us know that, for those of you who haven't, you'll have to catch up, but I'm not going to go through the whole movie. But it's just amazing just seeing a guy who's just so, in a way, free. He could be bound by the world, and the world thinks he's this weird, stupid guy, and he goes on this long run, and you know, people start to follow him. But it's just an inspiring movie and an inspiring person, the person of Forrest Gump. And You know why? Because people could relate to him. He was just the simple old soul that people could relate to. I'll never forget when I was after the, for those of you who watched the movie, you'll know that it was like run, forest, run. You know, everything was about run, forest. And I was running in Stellenbosch one night at 8 o'clock. I didn't do my run in the day, so I decided I'm going to run down Victoria Street at 8 o'clock at night on a Friday. I don't know if it was a Friday or Saturday night, but students in Stellenbosch on a Friday or Saturday night, they're out partying, and so they're driving from the reses down to the town. And I'm running down Victoria Street, yeah, and I just hear, and it was in the time when this movie came out, so this window gets wound down, and I just hear, run, Forrest, run. You know, but I just felt, these guys probably think I'm the weirdest oak running at 8 o'clock at night when I should be in the pubs or partying or whatever. But anyway, that was like the run, Forrest, run thing. I don't know what that had to do with anything. But anyway, but you see, life gets very complicated for us. Can anyone say amen? Life gets very complicated for all of us. Just think about your own life at the moment. Think about all the things that you have to think about, that you have to worry about, that you have to manage, that you have to, you know. Your life is very complicated. All of our lives become so complicated. And I believe that for this year, we need to live a life of simplicity. We need to get back to living a life of simplicity. Living a life where people can relate to us again. Have you been around a so-called complicated person? It's not nice to be around someone who's complicated, you know. It's nice to be around someone who's just simple. Someone who's just, not as in simple now and is in a negative way, but just a childlike person who's just free of worry, free of fear, free of stuff, free of issues. It's nice to be around someone who lives a life of simplicity, who's not full of stuff and complicated. And I believe that for us, before we do anything this year, I believe we must just cut away lots of stuff in our lives. Choose to cut away that which distracts us, that which prevents us from living this life. And I found the scripture when I was preparing for the sermon. The Lord took me here to Acts chapter 2. We all know it. It's talking about the first church, and it's talking about where the Holy Spirit was poured out, and there were so many amazing things happening. This church grew, and this church was exploding, and it was the realness of Christ because he had just left earth, and he was here, and his spirit was there, and the people experienced life. And it says here that they were of one accord. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. And then there's this phrase, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Because I read this, and I saw this word, simplicity of heart, and it's like the Holy Spirit just showed me, this is what he wants from us. He wants us to have simplicity of heart. Because what happened? They praised God, and they had favor with all people. Like Forrest Gump running there, and people just started to follow him. And he was this weird oak, but you know what? He just was a simple soul that people could relate to. Even though he had lots of issues, he didn't allow the issues to define him. He didn't allow his braces. And that one clip that I showed on, I mean, I looked at YouTube last night. I saw that one clip of where he just, you know, broke free of his braces when he was a small little boy. And you know, it was just amazing. And he believed in miracles. Believed that anything was possible. And these people, yeah, in the first book of or the first church, they had the same simplicity. They continued daily. They were in one accord. They broke bread. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. It was so easy to have unity in the church. Amen. How difficult it is to have unity in the church these days. In our day today, because there's so much stuff. There's so much complications. There's so many things that distract us. And yeah, the Lord wants us, I believe, to get back to this gladness and simplicity of heart. Praising God, first of all, and then having favor with all the people. And what did God do? God added to the church daily those who were being saved. People wanted to be with these people because they weren't complicated. They lived a life of simplicity. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, he writes here, and he writes on behalf of Timothy as well, his partner in the ministry, and he says the following, and he's writing to a church here that's very caught up in the world, very caught up with things that they shouldn't be doing, Christians now. And he's saying to them, listen here, and then he starts to defend his own, because these people in Corinthians, they were worried, they were thinking, but Paul, you're speaking nonsense, these false teachers and these people that are bringing us other stuff, maybe we believe in them, because who are you really? And he has to defend his apostleship. He has to defend his leadership and the focus he had on Christ. And he says the following to them. He says, for our boast is this. He says, the testimony that we have in our consciences is that we behaved in the world with simplicity. We behaved with simplicity and godly sincerity, he says, not by earthly wisdom. And he says here that the simplicity does not come by earthly wisdom. It comes by the grace of God. And he says, even supremely so toward you, we behaved. In other words, our actions talked about the simplicity that we lived by. I don't know about you this year. I don't know how your year started so far. I don't know what your plans and dreams are this year. But, you know, maybe you've made so many New Year's resolutions and you've put things down on paper. And you know what? We tend to complicate and overcomplicate our lives because we want to do this thing and that thing and that thing. And we want to do so many things. And then we forget about the basics of living a life of simplicity and simply just being focused on God. And we're going to look at the simplicity today. We're going to look at what this word simplicity means. Because yeah, in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it's interesting. I love these definitions. It says that simplicity is simply, it's a noun. It's the quality of being easy to understand or use. Isn't that amazing? The quality of being easy to understand and use. Have you ever felt used by God before? You must be easy to use if you're a child of God. Okay, this is talking about a thing, something that's simple, that's, you know, actually a thing here. But you know, we should also be easy to use in terms of God's ability to use us in the kingdom. We should be easy to understand. People should understand us easily. If we're too complicated, we're missing it. Because the gospel is simple. The gospel can be preached to children and they will understand. So that's the one thing, the one definition of simplicity. So I want all of us to look at our lives and to say, are we really living lives of simplicity, or are we so complicated that, you know what, people can't understand us? We're pitching it beyond the average person. We're pitching it beyond people that should be relating to us. Secondly, it says it's the state or quality of being plain or not fancy or uncomplicated. It's the state of quality of being plain or not fancy or complicated. And then lastly, it talks about something that is simple or ordinary but enjoyable. Sometimes we think that life must become so complicated to enjoy life. We've got to do so many things, add so much stuff to our lives. But you know what? That doesn't bring joy. It's the simple things in life that bring joy. It's taking a holiday where you just do nothing. You know, sometimes, and I'm challenged by this. You go on holiday and you want to just do a lot of stuff. And you think if I'm doing nothing, it's, ooh, I'm wasting time. But you know what? It's just taking a walk by the sea, taking a walk in the mountains, being on a farm in nature and just enjoying the fresh air, enjoying the simple things of life. That is simplicity. That is getting back to that place of being plain or not fancy or complicated. But the Bible says the following about simplicity. That's now the dictionary's definition. But I believe it's so true. And the Bible says the following. The Bible says simplicity comes from the Greek word haplotes or haplotes, which means singleness. Subjectively, it means sincerity without dissimulation or self-seeking. Or objectively, it talks about generosity, copious bestowal, bountifulness, liberality. Simplicity, singleness. It talks here about a sincere and a pure heart. And this is what the people had at the beginning of Acts. They had the sincere and a pure heart. What does it talk about? Devotion to Christ. No hypocrisy. Not saying the one thing and doing another thing. They were satisfied, these people. They were thankful. Anyone thankful this year? For this year or for last year, even though you had a challenging year? Anyone thankful? If you thank God for what He's doing in your life, what He's done and what He's busy doing. But these people were thankful. It says they ate their food with gladness and thankfulness, praising God. They were not anxious. Who's anxious here for this year? Anyone? Be honest in your heart. If you're anxious for this year, today's your day of being delivered from that. Don't be anxious for this year. Get back to simplicity again. It talks about integrity, and this is what Paul was talking about in his definition, where he behaved in the world with integrity, not being deceitful, not double-minded or double dealings, not trying to scheme his way through life. He was who he said he was. That's why he could write all these amazing letters to the Christians back then. And that's who Jesus was, I believe, as well. His heart and his mouth and his conduct are in agreement. Isn't that amazing? Can you say that for yourself? Can I say that? Is your heart in agreement with your mouth, with your actions? Anyone says a lot of things and you don't do it? Do you find yourself making promises and you don't follow up on them? Let's be honest, we all do that. We say a lot of stuff, we have motives, and we say it and then we don't do it. But you know what? The definition of simplicity means that your heart, your mouth, and your conduct are all in agreement. It's a bit of a challenge this morning, I know, but you know what? Christ wants us to get back to simplicity again. So what is simplicity? I wrote four things down here. First of all, it starts with the right focus. What is your focus for 2014? Who are you focused on? What are you focused on? But it's the right focus. Simplicity is getting back to the right focus again. And from that, the second thing happens is the right motives. This is like a process that happens. When your focus is right, you know what? Your motives are purified. Because if you focus on the right things, you know what? Your motives will follow the right things. Your heart's motives will be right. And then after that, your thoughts will be right. And then ultimately, you will actually do the right things. Right focus, right motives, right thoughts, and right actions. This is simply what simplicity is. Paul writes here at the end of 2 Corinthians, and he says the following. He says, "For I am jealous for you." And he's made his argument, and he's coming to the end of his second letter to the Corinthians. And he says, "Yeah, listen, I'm so jealous for you because I have a godly jealousy for you because I've betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He says, I'm longing. That's why I'm writing to you, because I'm jealous that you are going after other things. You're not betrothed to this one husband anymore. Because he says, "I fear somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." When I looked at the commentaries on this definition here of simplicity, or this context here, which the word simplicity is used, it talks here about a wholehearted, sincere, and pure devotion to Christ. Paul is writing and he's saying, there's a chance, I'm fearing for you people. If you're going to follow the false teachings, if you're going to follow the world, there's a chance that you could be deceived, just like Eve was. You could be deceived from the simplicity and corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It talks here just simply about the simple truths that Jesus taught. And it also talks about the simplicity of Christ's character. That childlikeness that we can relate to Him. And where He loved kids, He loved children to come to Him because He was a man of simplicity. Defied everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees brought, all their laws and all their things. He just came with simplicity of mind and of heart and of focus. So Paul is truly implying here that we can fall from simplicity just like Eve did. So I want to say to you this morning that it is possible that all of us can fall from simplicity. In fact, some of us even have this morning if we hear the word and we realize our lives are too complicated. And I want to say to you this morning, the bad news is that your default as people, our default is to go back to complicatedness, is to go back to the opposite of simplicity. Duplicity, double-mindedness, where we're confused and unsure and have a lack of focus, have wrong motives. That is our default. Because why? There's someone in our lives that is not wanting us to live a life of simplicity. There's an enemy of our souls. Someone does not want us to live this life of simplicity. And that's why Paul wrote and he said, "You are like Eve. You could be like Eve, being deceived." And remember, Eve was a perfect person. Adam and Eve were perfect. It wasn't like sin entered into the world when they were there, except when there was deception. And that's what we need to look out for this year. And I believe God wants us to continue this. And I'm just going to read Genesis 3, verse 1 to 8 this morning. And just look at what happened. Why was Eve deceived? And how can we prevent this deception in our lives? That we don't be deceived into getting away from simplicity. Let's read Genesis 3 from verse 1 to 8 together. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say? Did God actually say that you cannot eat of any tree in the garden?'" Just twisting that thing that God had said. Just saying, "Did God really say that you cannot eat of any tree in the garden?" Sowing that little bit of doubt into Eve's mind. Oh, is God really for us? What is He holding back here? "The woman said to the servant," she responded, she says, "'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We may eat of them. But except God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the devil comes and he says, he starts to sow that doubt in Eve's mind and says, "But did God really say that you cannot eat of any tree?" He says, interesting. No, it's not any tree. You can eat of every tree except one. So he brings lies into Eve's life here. He brings that little lie and that little bit of deception, which gets Eve to start thinking, is God really who he says he is? Is he really for us? And Eve's come and said, no, serpent, you're wrong. God said we can eat of everyone except for one tree. And then what does he do? He says the following. He says, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Come on now. You know what's going to happen? God knows that when you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Comes again with this little bit of subtlety saying, you know what? There's something that God is holding back from you. There's something that just eat of it because you're going to be like God. You're going to see good and evil. You're going to have discernment. You're going to have everything you desire because, you know, God placed in each of us and he placed in Adam and Eve that desire to become like him. That's not a wrong thing. It's a desire for all of us as Christians. As Christians, we must become like God. Amen. We should become more like Christ. But it depends on how we do it. And yeah, the woman falls for it. And she starts to think in her mind, but what is God withholding from me? Surely I must just, let me just try this. Surely it won't do me any harm. Let me just eat of this fruit. And so she saw the following. And here's the key. Yeah, she saw the following. She saw three things about this tree and this apple that seemed as if God was withholding something from her. She saw the first thing. She said it was good for food. She said, secondly, it was a delight for her eyes. It's nice to look at it. It just seems so desirable. And it can satisfy me, my physical need for food now. And lastly, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So what did she do? She took of its fruit and she ate. Three things that the Bible talks about that we must watch out for. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Delight for the eyes, lust of the eyes, good for food, lust of the flesh, desire to make one wise, the lust, the pride of life. Three things that we must watch out for that the devil continued to test us with all the time. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And what will we do many times when we get tempted on these areas? We'll just take and eat. And God will forgive me. God will forgive me. But we start this reasoning with the devil. And what happened? She gave to her husband and we start to affect people around us. If we take of that fruit and eat and we don't resist the devil's plans, we start to complicate our lives because we want more. We want more. We want more. And our focus starts to move away from where we started. And then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. Suddenly they saw things differently. They sewed fig leaves together and started to make plans, started to complicate their lives even more. You see, when sin enters in and we allow the devil access to take away that simplicity of our lives, you know what? It's a roller coaster ride. I mean, a snowball effect. It just gets more and more complicated. We make plans. We cover up. We complicate our lives so much. And in the end, we complicate it so much that all this complication fills us with. We can't see anymore. And what did they do? They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden and they hid from him. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And we make all these plans and ultimately we hide from God because there's so much stuff that's complicating our lives. But you see the good news this morning for us. And we're going to take communion just now. We're going to say, God, prevent us, help us, because you've come to die for us. Christ Jesus came to uncomplicate our lives. Amen? Has anyone thought about it that way? Christ Jesus came to uncomplicate our lives, to take away the sin, to strip away the lack of focus that we have, to strip away that which is unnecessary, which has been put on us by people. And, you know, and we come with baggage, people. Let's be honest. We come from generations who have just not known how to love us always. And it's fine. You know, with my kids, my wife and I, we're having challenges as parents sometimes to love our son, especially when he throws tantrums. And, you know, you try your best to, and just, you know, it's a challenge to love them. And you realize, you know what? You need Christ. Christ loves you more than we do. And you have to repent and say sorry sometimes to your son for being so cross with him and, you know, for not loving him because you get angry. You realize the perfect father is long-suffering. He doesn't get angry with us. One day there's going to be judgment. But you know what? His anger is, his mercies are forever. His mercies are everlasting. And you as a parent realize that you've come from this as well. You've had people getting angry with you and placing stuff on you. And, you know, life gets very complicated. But we need to come back to Christ Jesus again. He came to change the state of this being. Amen. Isn't that exciting news this morning? He came to deliver us from this deception. From this, the fall from simplicity. He came to restore to us life as it should be. Life in abundance. So I want to say to all of us this morning, we need to put measures in place to guard our hearts against the complicatedness of life. To guard ourselves and our minds especially against things that clutter. And you know, this holiday I was on the farm with my parents, with my brothers running the farm now. And what we did now, he gives his workers off over this time. And so we had to drive around the fences. Now he's got, my brother's put amazing jackal-proof fences in place. Or it's supposed to be jackal-proof, you know, where the lambs are. Because it's springtime, September, October, November, it's lambing season. And so the lambs, the young sheep are very vulnerable to jackals and to predators coming to steal them. And that's the farmer's biggest nightmare, is losing some of, because you know, one lamb is worth probably R1,000 just as it is. But you know, when it grows more wool, it's the value just increases of a sheep. So a sheep is worth a lot of money, meat and everything that a sheep produces. So you can't, one sheep is quite, now my brother's very diligent, he just doesn't want to, his excellence is so high that he cannot stand it if he loses one lamb. Now most farmers have to write it off, you cannot be, it's not a perfect world. But you can put things in place to prevent the jackals from coming. So he built this amazing fence around, like now it's huge, a huge area of probably half the farm, which is, no, not quite half the farm. Let's say a quarter of the farm, which is about 1,000 hectares of fence around where the sheep generally move when they lamb. And now what you have to do is now, your fences also have predators, okay? Your fences have predators because the porcupines and the ant bears dig under that fence. They try to move from one place of the farm to the next. So they suddenly see, oh, there's a fence here. So they just try and dig under this fence to get to the next greener pasture. Okay, so they don't harm the lambs, but they harm the fence because they dig a hole under the fence. And then what happens is the jackals think, oh, cool, here's a hole. I'll just go under the fence. So what you have to do as a farmer, if you've put this amazing fence up, but you still have to check that the other animals don't dig under this fence and make a hole where they could let the jackals through. So you've got to pack stones, and you find, and we were driving around the farm, and then you find little holes where the ant bears and the porcupines have gone through. And so you've got to pack stones there and close the hole again. Especially when the water runs and the rain washes, you know, under the rivers and things, then the predators can get through there. So you have to drive around and check that your fence is closed, because you don't want these jackals coming to kill your lambs. And so when we were doing this, my dad and I were driving there, and I was just thinking, this is how we must be as Christians. We must put everything in place to prevent the jackals and the enemies of our souls, our hearts and our minds, to prevent them from coming in to steal that which God has blessed, that which God has, and God does it. We don't have to do it on our own strength. It's Christ that does it. But we must invite Him in. We must say to Him, Christ, come and be the God in our hearts and minds. Make us more like You, that we have fences that are perfect, that we have fences that are closed to the enemy, and the open doors and the open little holes. And it's subtle. The devil is so subtle. He uses every little opening to just twist something in our lives. But this morning there's good news for us. Christ has come to give us life. And I've just put four things down here which I believe we can use to live in simplicity. The first thing is, it's a pity I didn't make them come one at a time. But anyway, so don't look at the 2, 3, and 4. Maybe you can you do that quickly, Mariska, just to, that we don't focus on all four things at once. The first thing I want us to focus on, or want us to do in our lives, you can write this down if you want to, is to focus on the goodness of God in Christ and what He is focused on. To always focus on Him, to be thankful, in other words. To start your day and to start your year with thankfulness and say, God, thank You for who You are. Thank You for my life. Thank You for salvation. Thank You that You love me. Just focus on who God is, on the goodness of God. He is good and He is for you. Amen. I want to say that this morning. He is good and He is for you. Because that is what the devil did to Eve. He deceived her by saying, God is withholding something from you. He's not so good like he says he was. He's withholding something. So what do? We just doubt subtly that little bit of goodness. Or we know he's good, but we think there's something here that God is withholding from me. Don't do it. Focus on the goodness of God and be thankful for what you have. Because so many times we look and say, God, what I don't have. Amen. Isn't that true? We look at other people and see what they have, and we forget about what God has given us. And so we focus on what we don't have, and then we start to make plans to get that which we haven't got. Focus on the goodness of God. And in Jesus Christ, he has given us life. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. That's the first thing. Secondly, allow God to purify your motives according to his will. Ask him to purify your motives. Because you know, when you get the right focus, you focus on Christ, and you focus on the things that he is focused on. In other words, people. God loves people. He wants us to bless people and to love people. If we do that, you know what? Then our motives will start to be ordered by God. They will come into order with God's focus. But sometimes our motives are still rotten. Our motives still stink. And then we must say, God, purify me, because yes, I'm focused on you, but many times, God, I'm focused on you for myself. And one of the definitions of simplicity we learned was that it's not self-seeking. It's outward focus. Focus on others, not on yourself. Because as soon as we focus on ourselves, the devil comes in and tempts us and says, look at what you haven't got. Look at your shortcomings. Look at your weaknesses. Focus on God purifying your motives according to his will. Be holy, the Bible says. Be holy, for I am holy. And it talks about the motives of your heart. And we need to check our motives, because many times we're even in church to be seen, or we serve in church to be seen by other people, to polish your little naughty badge there and say, you know, you've done a good thing. You're the man of power for the hour. And we many times have motives that stink, motives that are not pure, and God needs to purify our motives. So ask him to do that. Simplicity talks about pure motives, a singleness, a focus on God. Number three, trust God with every thought and every temptation, because guess what? Temptations will come. Amen. Temptations in this world are not, we're not free from temptation yet. One day we will be. One day the devil's going to be cast out into utter darkness. Awesome. But you know what? We're not there yet. He's still prowling about. He's still like a roaring lion. And I can tell you, in 2014, he's going to come at us. If we start to do the will of God and focus on changing this city and this nation, you know what? He's going to come at us even more. But you know what? We take every thought captive and we say, God, I trust you. This temptation is coming my way. And I'm honest, Lord. I'm about to fall, but Jesus, help me. Save me. Be honest. Don't hide it. Be honest with Christ. Be honest and say, invite him into that thought. Invite him into those thoughts. And then continue the process. Ask him to continue to purify your motives or your thoughts or whatever is distracting you. But ask him to do that and invite him in. But be real with God. And let's be real with the world. It's a challenge. Christianity isn't for sissies. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. And then lastly, say no to that which distracts you from him this year. Remember, this is something we've got to practice in 2014. It's something we've got to practice for the rest of our lives. But let's start by moving back to simplicity. Let's start to say no to that which distracts you from doing the will of God. And simply how you do that is to be obedient. If God speaks, do that. Even if it feels like, what am I doing now, God? What am I supposed to do? I don't understand this, but be obedient. And you know what? Sometimes it's going to mean saying no to good things this year. Amen. Can I say that again to a couple of people? Yeah, it's saying no to good things this year and saying yes to God things. Saying no to good things and saying yes to God things. Be obedient. Christ Jesus has come to deliver us, and he has come to give us a life of simplicity. And I'm excited. If we can apply this word, you know what, friends? God can use us this year. If we get back to simplicity, you know what? We won't have lives that are so complicated. If we have to move, we need to move. You know what? Because a good test of how complicated your life is if God says move to another city, move to another country, will you be able to do it without so much fuss? Will you be able to just go if there's a mission, and can you just go and, you know? Or do we always have to do so many things to let go of our comforts? Do we have to cut so many chains to get to move our tents, our spiritual tents? Because sometimes we get so stuck in our minds, and I'm not saying it's only physically, but even in our minds, we get so stuck in a box, and you know, God struggles to move us because we are complicated people. We live a life of complications. But I believe God is going to use us amazingly if we say, God, we want to focus on you. We want to get back to simplicity, pure motives, devotion to you. You know what? Then we'll say yes to God. We'll say yes, like Isaiah did when the coal of fire came on his tongue. He says, yes, Lord, send me. Here I am. I want to be used by you this year. But if we're complicated, it's going to be very difficult. We're going to have to wade through so much stuff. And God wants us to, this year, just get rid of stuff. And it's not going to be an instant. It's not going to be just end of Sunday and, you know, you'll be Monday morning, tomorrow you'll wake up and have a simple life. It's going to take a focus on Christ and saying, God, change me. I cannot change myself. But this morning, I want the ushers just to hand out the communion elements this morning. That we can just get back to that place of simplicity with Christ again. Let's say, God, you died for me. Jesus, you came to give me a simple life. Not a complicated life, full of stuff, full of more things. But I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask a couple of questions as we hand out the communion elements. I want to ask you, first of all, what is preventing you from having a singleness of focus? What is preventing you from having a singleness of focus? And secondly, and this is the important one, what distractions do you need to say no to this year? Jani, jy kan vorentoe kom ook asseblief. What distractions you need to say no to this year? And I want us to be honest this morning. I want us to really say, God, because all of us have something to say no. All of us need to say no to something. Because saying no to something means you're going to say yes to something else. Because many times we just talk about saying yes to God and yes to so many things. But saying yes to so many things means you're saying no to other things. And it works the same way, the other way around. If you say no to certain things, it means you're saying yes to the important things. And I think we need to say no to some things this year. I believe that's the key to having a singleness of focus. So this morning, as we just remember Christ this morning, we remember His amazing sacrifice. He died for all of us. I want to say that to you this morning. Just realize that maybe you didn't, you forgot about it this holiday. You forgot about the fullness of Christ. He wants you to just get back to saying yes to Him first of all. Before we say yes to anything else, let's say yes to Christ this morning. And I know it's, oh, I'm saved, I'm a Christian for many years. But I believe it's so important this morning to say yes to Christ and say, Christ, come and change my life. I know you, but you know what? I need to be simple again. I need to get back to simplicity. I've added so much stuff to my life, and you didn't come to add stuff to my life. You came to make me free, because it's in your will that I'm free. And then I want us all to make a commitment, and I actually want us to turn into groups of two. If you're a family here together, do it as a family. If you're friends, do it as friends, but turn into groups of two or three if you'd like, and then just take communion together, and let's pray for one another. Let's pray for one another to make a commitment this year. And you make that commitment in front of other people. It's so blessed to pray in front of other people and to say, God, I give you my 2014. I want to make 2014 a life of effectiveness and focus where I'm not distracted. And I have to take 6 months to get into this year. I want to get into this year tomorrow when I go to work and when I just live my life. Even if you're still on holiday, you know what? You can reach people on holiday. You can be a blessing, because why? The presence of God is with you. So Lord, this morning we just thank you for life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that has been poured out, that we can have a free and abundant life, Lord. That we can get rid of complications. That we can get back to that pure and sincere devotion to you first of all, Jesus. And you will tell us, Lord, what to say yes to and what to say no to, Lord. And we don't have to say no just because we're feeling guilty now. But thank you that we can say yes to you first of all, Lord. And that means no to a lot of other things, Lord. If we say yes to you, Lord, we're saying no to many other distractions. But Lord, also thank you for those things that are good that we can also say no to, Lord. Those things that we can be convicted about that we need to lay down in our lives, Lord, that prevent us from having that simple focus, that life of simplicity. And so thank you, Lord, that we can take the body and the blood this morning. So I want you to turn into groups of two or three and just take communion together. But just spend time in the quiet place right now. To just do it together, but don't talk long talks. Just get yourself into with someone next to you, if possible. If you want to do it on your own, that's fine. But try to get into groups. It's so blessed to just take communion together. So we're going to do it together right now. We'll take the bread and the wine together. And after that, you can pray for one another. And you can ask one another, what commitment do you need to make? What do you need to say no to? And you just pray for the other person. So Lord, thank you right now that as a family, Lord, we can just become one now with you and take of your body, Lord. Your blood, your body has healed us. Your body has been broken that we can be healed, Lord. And we thank you for the resurrected Christ as well. We thank you that your body was made whole again, perfectly whole. And therefore this morning we can remember that you were broken, that our wholeness can be made whole, that our brokenness can be made whole again, that we can have wholeness and fullness of life. So thank you that we can eat of this together in celebration of what Jesus did. Let's eat the bread together. Lord, as together we also take of this cup, Lord, the cup of the new covenant. We thank you, Lord, that we can just enjoy the new blood flowing through us, God. Where the old is passed away, you say, behold, all things have become new. And we thank you for new life in this year, Lord. We thank you for new life. We commit our lives afresh to you this morning, Lord. Come and have your way in our lives, Lord. Come and wash us clean again of all sin, Lord. We thank you that you have nailed sin to the cross. You've nailed principalities and powers to the cross, and you have shed your blood that we can be free and be healed and be loved, Lord, by you. You loved us, Lord. That's why you came, and you still love us. So we drink of this with such thankfulness this morning, Lord, with such reverence and such awe of who you are, Lord. A perfect God came to this imperfect world to bring a change, and we thank you that we can make this change part of our lives. Let's all drink together. Welcome to just pray for one another now. Just share what the Lord has placed on your heart.